With that theme that we are not alone, let's together in this beautiful group of coherent loving hearts move into a meditation and welcome the message from Kryon that is going to be shared about our soul. And in this soup of energy that we are feeling, just allow yourself to relax, close your eyes, allow the muscles within your face to let go and relax. Allow your shoulders, arms, and hands to relax. Allow your back, chest, and abdomen to relax. Allow your legs, knees, calves to relax. And as you feel the energy within your feet relax, feel the connection that you share with the planet Earth. There are beautiful grids of energy throughout Earth connecting you through your feet to the Earth. And so let's visualize the energy coming back up through our feet is energy that's connecting to the feet of every single person on the planet. And in this awareness, as we are thinking about that connection, our own coherent field is being further enhanced by our focused intent of our feet connecting to the grids, which connect to the other feet of those listening now and in the future. They are also in there now, but they are also connecting to this grid through the energies of the earth coming to them through their feet. And allow that energy to move up through your body, coming into your heart area. This is the place of our belonging. This is the place of our soul sharing. This is the place of our oneness with each other, with the planet. And in this energetic posture, let us welcome the beautiful loving messages from Kryon.
Greetings, dear ones. I am Kryon of Magnetic Service. Once again, we come to you in this place of grandeur, healing, magnificence, because you're here. We have said this before. This is how Spirit sees you, dear ones. The magnificence of the human being is the starting point that we come from when we speak to you. The irony is that so many humans don't feel magnificent. Dear ones, I want to talk to you more about these things and some of the helps in the past. And it has to do with your soul. We've spoken of the soul every week, and we will continue to. This particular channel, this message about the extraordinary things about your soul is a bit different. We've spoken about these attributes before, perhaps not exactly in this way. I want to talk about guides and angels. Question, Kryon, where do guides and angels come from? The answer that you would expect from any spiritual leader or perhaps a channeler, they would come culturally from what you call heaven, the other side of the veil. That's where they come from. What if it wasn't? What if it was, but it wasn't exactly as you think? What if instead it was built into a process of help for all of you that comes, are you ready? From your own soul. When you have spiritual history, you can examine some of the attributes of those who have seen angels. Almost all of the encounters that have been written with angels are personal. That is to say, an angel did not call a meeting. So you don't normally have a lot of people watching an angel present. There is often personal experiences, but very seldom group experiences with angels. Because, dear ones, almost always an angel appears to an individual. And that particular angel can look any way that individual might imagine an angel should look. Sometimes what you would call angels appear completely and totally different because they have to. What if I told you that an angel, and they exist from your soul, what if I told you an angel actually has no shape at all? That it's a multidimensional energy that is so potently there in front of you that the subconscious mind creates a vehicle to imagine it. What I mean by that, do you really think that an angel from the creative source, that is the heavens, even before earth or humanity was made, the heavens were there and the angels would appear then as a woman in a nice outfit with a halo? You'd say, well, perhaps not. But that is the way so often they're depicted. Almost always in white, of course. Everything means something else. Your subconscious wants to see mother. That is another profound proof, as we have said, of the divine feminine in all of you that wants to see mother when it comes to angelic principles. And that particular female, always beautiful, always profound, with wisdom, perhaps with a halo, which means something else. It means spirituality. Did you ever think of that? I told this once, and I mention it again. My partner was sitting on the top of a mountain called Mount Sinai. He had just climbed the mountain in the dark from midnight, and he was tired. And the message I gave him, of course, was about Moses. Talked about Moses' unwillingness, really, to have the mantle that he was given. But he did it anyway. And he did it because he saw the profundity of all that he was called to do, even though he didn't feel worthy of it. He was there and gave his best. And history will show it was good enough. That was the place, supposedly, where he saw the burning bush. And we've told you before that the burning bush was not a bush at all. Supposedly, the description was a bush that did not consume itself with the flame that he saw. That was an angel. But in his day, in this time, that's all that he saw, because that is the picture of what it meant to him. It needed to be something that got his attention, even more than a woman, perhaps, in a nice outfit with a halo. A bush that stood in front of him and a voice came out of it. And the voice that he didn't tell you was feminine. That's an angel. Guides are the same, but let's stop and talk about what is going on there. Dear ones, there had to be a system of communication that was spiritual when you needed it, for even those who didn't even believe there could be a God. There had to be a system Because there are some individuals on this planet, especially those walking in a darker time, a time where nothing was acknowledged as simple as a monotheistic God, there had to be a system where the soul could speak to you of greater things. And sometimes those things were frightening, very frightening. Imagine having an energy come to you and speak, an energy that spoke, and your subconscious immediately had to create a human so that it made sense that there was speech. Every angel who has come and been reported has said several words. Did you think about it? Fear not. That means don't be afraid of this. Why would anybody be afraid of a lovely woman with a halo? And the answer is because it was more than that. It was a tremendous energy sitting in front of you with a majestic voice, a female voice that got your attention, that said profound things that were recorded in history and became your scripture. There had to be a mechanism for that to happen that comes from your soul. Your soul is a piece of God. Your soul, we've told you, is immense. Your soul has so much in it that you're unaware of. The circle of 12 is a bridge that crosses to part of your soul and invites you to feel the immensity of it. The ancestors are there. Your Akash is there. The angels are there. God is there. And so this is part of the system of everything that is you. Angels come from your soul, and they come for you, and they talk to you, because it is from your own spiritual essence. Angels and guides often are used in the same phrase. Let's talk about guides. A little different than angels, aren't they? Now, an angel is seen as a profound experience. If you have an angel come to you, you're very quiet, you look at it, either report it or you don't, because some people will not believe you. Those who have in history, it's always a profound experience and they have something to say. Now that is special, almost like a vision. Guides, however, are described as those entities that belong specifically to you that work with you every day. And they're not necessarily talking to you as much as they are pushing and pulling you through what we will call guided intuition to the right place to be. We have taught this for a very long time, dear ones, that your intent and your affirmations are then enhanced by your guides to help push and pull you into the right place at the right time for synchronicity, for healing in your life, for the right partner, for the right business. And that is how people see guides. Question, what do they look like? And the answer is yes, any way you want them to look, because indeed they are not human. However, they are guides, and so you picture them as guides. And it's interesting how you would picture them. You'd ask one culture, well, tell me about your guides, and they'll say, oh, they're huge. They come in and they're 7 feet tall. And you talk to another culture, you say, well, they're actually about this high. And they come and they scurry around me. That tells you a lot about humanism. They are as you wish to see them. How many are there? Well, many people are saying, well, there's got to be three. I always see three. And we have told you this before, dear ones, there are no numbers of guides. All of that is symbology. The three is a catalyst for change. They exist to steer you into change. So you see them as the energy of the number three, and you say there are three guides. Do you see where I'm going with this? Oh, there is so much there that you hadn't imagined. Where do the guides come from? They come from your soul. Your soul has the ability, because it stands apart from you on the other side of the veil and perhaps is not integrated yet with you, to start pushing and pulling and helping through intuition, guides, and angels, all from your soul. I want you to stop for a moment as we finish this channel. Think of the beauty and the love of the system. God would love you so much that even if you said, I don't believe in God and nobody can convince me, that there's still a mechanism to help you. Without saying, well, you have to believe it. There's still intuition that would move you here and move you there because of the love that is there. That is the teaching and always will be of the magnificence of the human being. You deserve to be here. You deserve to be loved this much. I'm crying in love with humanity. And so it is.